Hey gang, thanks for listening to the CrossFit Off-Road Podcast. This is Mitch. This is also sponsored by Prime Shape Fitness. If you are looking to get in better shape, look for me online or on Facebook at Prime Shape Fitness. Find my page, reach out to me. I'd love to help you out. I do online and in-person workouts. I can help you out either way. Now on to the Fun Off-Road Podcast. Hey, welcome to the CrossFit Off-Road Podcast Mobile Studio. Today I got my buddy Wade in here with me, and it kind of comes down to why I have to say hi, Wade.
Hey!
So kind of why I haven't been doing a lot of podcasts lately is, that's the first part, what have I been up to? Well, in the fall, there's this little thing called deer hunting, and it takes over my world. So all the fun trips I would have going jeeping, I take off, load the pickup up, drop a kid or two inside. So I took my little guy, who's not so little, hunting first. And before I even did that, we set up deer stands in September, my brothers and I, which turns out to be a really fun party, basically. And then you spend, well, you drink a beer, then you put a nail in a deer stand, then you drink another beer. It's one of those type of things. But you spend all weekend doing it. Spend all weekend working on four or five deer stands and repairing them because, you know, the wind blows them over or you try to improve them, that type of thing, or move them around a little bit. So we did that with, well, must have been six or seven different deer stands over the time frame, but mainly one or two of them takes up most of the time. So that was one weekend in September. Then October rolls around, they have this youth hunt, so I grabbed my little guy, he's 14-ish, and took him out for a one-day hunt. Seems kind of short-sighted to go for a one-day hunt, but at the end of the day, he's Mr. Basketball, so we had to run back for basketball tryouts or a tournament or something. So, whopping one day, you know, 6-7 hours of driving for 4 hours, 5 hours of hunting. But one thing is, he stayed in the deer stand almost the whole day. He came out for a sandwich and then went back in. He was into it, loved it, saw some deer, and that was about it. On a side note, I could probably have a whole podcast on deer stories about how I did not get deer. So, but we won't do that today. Maybe a little bit.
So I'm rethinking my request to have you take me hunting now.
Yeah, Wade asked me to take him hunting, so he's all excited. This is his first time hunting, and he's just like, he's thinking he's going to have a choice of which monster buck he's going to shoot. I'm like, he might. Like, I don't know if you know what hunting is like. I've been deer watching all
fall. If there's one thing the internet has taught me is that everything happens for real all the time. That will be my exact experience, right? We'll be there 5 minutes, and we'll get a 30-point buck.
So then I went to, you know, the youth hunt, then I took my older son the first weekend, and then took my oldest sister, who last year I asked her if she wanted to go hunting, and she's like, well, just come sit with you guys? I'm like, no, actually hunt. She's like, okay, I'll do that. So she was close to 60, and she went hunting for the first time last year, second time this year, and learning more every year, and having fun with us guys, and so it's been kind of fun. So this is my fifth time going up north since the middle of September. I like to see my mom a lot, apparently. But that's kind of what, you know, takes up all my free time. It's kind of like doing a lot of hunting and then basketball tryouts. So where have I been? I've been doing a lot of that type of stuff. Not the worst way to spend a weekend. I mean, you have a four-wheel drive vehicle to go do fun stuff with. It doesn't have to be a Jeep. So when I came back from hunting the opening weekend, I washed my Jeep in my garage, my truck, I should say. I said Jeep. Washed my pickup in the garage because it was so filthy dirty. I washed it by hand first just to get the first layer of mud off and dirt off. Then I took it to a drive-through wash and got it done most of the way. Then I had to sweep up my garage, blow the stuff out with my leaf blower, and wash the floor because it was just caked in mud. You know, it's like after you go to Gilbert or something, your driveway looks like after you hose down your Jeep. It's kind of like that. It was a hot mess.
Turns everything orange.
Oh, my truck was a hot mess.
Orange Jeep, orange driveway.
But there's a lot of that, you know, just going down dirt roads and stuff like that. We had snow butter there, which made it kind of fun. So this every hunt is a little different from the year before, but saw some deer, passed them all. But this time I get to go, you know, bow hunting for the second time ever in my life. I mean, I have a bow for 20-something years now, I think, 17 years in that ballpark. And I bought the bow because...
Strings aren't rotted off it, are they?
No, Mike borrowed it one year. Mike, my brother, literally got a deer with it. He's the only person I got a deer with my bow. I took a bow hunting one time because we didn't go all west hunting. Sometimes we go, a lot of times we go to Wyoming, or we haven't lately. but we went to Wyoming about 5, 6, 7 years in a row. But one time we didn't go, it's like, oh, let's go bow hunting instead. So I went and bought a bow, all the gear, all the kit, and went out bow hunting for a year. Had a couple chances at deer from 5 feet away. We were really close to them, but passed on them. Anyhow, so my brother, he borrows my bow a few years later. This is like 5, 6 years ago. He goes and takes my bow in because it's a little bit better, you know, a little bit newer than his bow. Not much, you know, the bows nowadays are way better than the one I have. But he borrows it, put a new string on it, and then he goes to the land he got permission to go hunt on from where he works. And so he had to carry in a stand and take it out every night. So he carried in a stand, put the pigs in, climbed the tree, got set. He was there for less than a minute, and a buck comes out, shoots it. He's still sweating from putting the stand up.
Nice.
And he texted me and goes, I just shot a deer and it dropped it. I'm like, I've been here for three minutes.
He goes, let's go there.
Yeah, so he hit some pretty good luck with it, took the stand down and took his deer home and processed it. So we're doing a little bit of bow hunting and muzzle loader. I've always wanted to do muzzle loader also because it's you can go for a longer season. We're going in December, so like I said, this is my first time hunting in December in my life, let alone past the first or second weekend in November. So Minnesota does it. If you're listening out of the state, Minnesota has used to have a 2-day hunt and then another 2-day hunt. It was two different weekends. Not only do one long hunt, but it's over 10 days. Other states will do like Wisconsin. I think they start in the day after Thanksgiving and they go for a few weeks, like 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Texas has that too. They have like a 3-4 week rifle hunt, you know. So I wouldn't doubt if Minnesota kind of changes some rules and opens it up to more people, like the youth weekend, open that up all the way till mid-December. I wouldn't doubt it.
Nice.
But I'm not the guy to make that decision.
We're going to get a big buck, I know it.
Oh, listen to that optimism, folks. Listen to that optimism.
So I have a reason to believe that. So I went on a fishing trip a few years ago with some friends that are all fishermen. And there were two people on the trip that were not fishermen. Me and another friend of mine. And we went out for dinner the night before. We went fishing and we're all kind of talking. It's like, hey, who's going to get the biggest fish? And everybody's said, well, Wade and Sam, of course, because they're not fishermen. And that's exactly what happened. Both Sam and I caught the biggest fish.
This is offshore stuff, right?
Of our 2-day. Yeah, we were fishing in the Gulf of Mexico. We caught, Sam caught like 150 pound or 140 pound, something like that, spinner shark. And I caught a 165 pound tarpon.
That's bigger than you.
It is. It was. It absolutely was bigger than me. And everybody caught, you know, some decent fish for sure. But so I'm applying that same logic, right? Like that beginner's luck logic.
I'm
going to get a record-setting deer today or tomorrow. We'll be podcasting on the way back talking about it. We'll have to rent a flatbed to get it home.
Well, yeah. This thing only can hold 1,000 pounds.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So it's funny, my brother Mike and I, we always send pictures back and forth, but, you know, it comes around deer season, all of a sudden the Facebook, these parents will pop up their kids getting these monster bucks, and Mike and I always send the picture to each other to say, RFL. RFL stands for Ruin for Life.
Some 12-year-old
gets a 15-point buck their first minute in the deer stand. Like, they'll be chasing that deer in their brain the rest of their life.
Yep.
My brother Dennis, who you just met.
Pretty much fishing, yep.
We stopped in at my brother's place. Dennis is, and dropped some stuff off, and he got his biggest buck of his life at age 16. And he's been chasing that one bigger ever since. He's gotten close a few times, but nothing bigger than that one when he was, you know, 5 foot, 16-year-old, weighing about 90 pounds, and getting this giant 205-pound buck.
Wow.
Giant for our area, you know, in our group, you know, it was a big monster. The biggest one I got, I had a picture at home, 202 pounds, 9-point. Not as big of a rack as his, but it's a big, big bodied animal. And if you get a 200-and-some-pound buck, you know, that's like 250 on the hoof.
Yeah.
I got it, and I was trying to drag it just into an opening to get it out. I couldn't move it on the ground. I was like, holy cow. When I got that one, a quick deer story. This is my funnest time. I'm sitting in a big, wide-open field, so I could see, I can see pretty far on one direction. I'm like, there's going to be no deer here. I'm looking across a vast field of about 80 acres all around. The closest woods is, you know, 90 acres over for me. And it's just way over there. All of a sudden, I see one of the guys shoot and then get out of his stand. A neighboring farmer, hunter we've been hunting with for years. heard him shoot and get out of a stand. Like, okay, you know, you hear somebody shoot and get out of a stand, they're probably going to kick up some deer. All of a sudden, I see two deer come piling across the field. Oh, they come, I go, they're running right towards me. I mean, this is, I can see them 500 yards away. I don't know if I'm bragging, you know, I'm raising it up or not, but I can see
1,000 yards out.
Might as well be, you know, it's my story. So, but I can see him running right towards me. I'm like, this is great. I'll just get ready.
Olympic level shooter, ladies and gentlemen, Mitch Mose.
Well, I wasn't going to shoot till they got closer. Well, then they're about a couple hundred yards out. You know, they're coming right at me. And yeah. I'm like, all I do is wait. You know, so I'm just waiting, watch them coming in. All of a sudden, 200 yards away, they turn broadside, start running, and they're staying 200 yards away. So there's broadside running across. I'm like, well, you run right towards me. So I go, well, there's a nice buck. I'm going to start shooting at that. You notice I said start. So I start shooting, and I shot, I think, total of 7 times at this deer, and I hit him 5. And he turned and started running towards me again. What luck this is. This biggest buck I ever got in my life turns and starts running towards me again. Now, granted, remember I said it started 500 whatever yards away. It's running towards me again as I'm changing clips, because I ran out, you know, 4 shots. I'm throwing the other clip in. Finally, I stood up. The kill shot, I shot through its antlers. I think I broke one off even as I shot, and it shot it right to the neck from about 5 yards away. I had to stand up and open sight it and just shoot. That was the kill shot. Wow. But yet I started watching that deer from, you know, 500 yards
away.
When
was this?
This was in 2004.
Oh, okay. So a while ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, yeah.
17 years ago?
So, but that was probably the most hilarious. And I did a big yell, because I just got the biggest trip I'm ever getting.
War cry?
Did the old war cry, and I was laughing and at myself. I couldn't believe I got it. I got out of the stand, tried to pull it around. I'm like, this thing is not going anywhere. So I got back in my stand, sat there for probably another half hour, and Mike comes rolling up my dad's pickup. He's like, you better got some if you yelled like that, because he heard me from you know, hundreds of yards away. He could hear me. I go, look at it. He goes, holy cow.
Yeah.
I go, I couldn't move it. I tried pulling it. So then we got it out, got in the back of the pickup. But that was a fun one. That was one of the more fun times. Anytime you get a deer, you kind of remember. That's why people have all these deer stories. They're like big core memories in their head that just sticks around. So I can picture that whole day in my head, what it looked like and how cold it was. But that was back when it used to be cold during deer season. So,
nice.
Well, hopefully we're going to create some new fun deer hunting stories for us here today on this trip. We're going up on a Friday. It's, I think this goes through this whole weekend, your muzzleloader, but I think the bow hunting goes to the end of the year.
Yeah, doesn't it go to like the 17th, I think?
Yeah, maybe next week. But this is the weekend we picked. Because Wade, you know, says to me one day, I think we were sitting in the garage or something. Or was it Fantasy Football Draft a couple years ago?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it was. And we're talking, and all of a sudden you're like, I know how to shoot a rifle or a gun, but I don't know what to do with a deer after that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
I shoot all the time.
Yeah, so
I just don't hunt.
Yeah, so I know what to do after the fact. And done this plenty.
Then
what?
Then it turns into a steak, right?
Yeah, just magically just wraps himself up into a nice package. No, so I got a plan, obviously. So we're going up to the land that we have up north, my brothers and I. And we've hunted for my entire life and then some. It's been in the family since the 60s, obviously, since my parents' land. But that's where we're going to get some deer. So that's what I've been up to.
I'm hype.
Yeah. So now, and then I got Wade here. So
deer time.
Oh, what Wade has been up to is a whole other story. So obviously this is an off-road podcast, not the how I shot a deer podcast, or how I missed a deer. I got plenty of the how I missed a deer stories. Those are even more funny. I got tons of those too. I don't get everything.
No, we're not going to get one of those stories this weekend. Our story is going to be on how we got a deer.
We better get a couple of them.
I got to fill
the freezer here. But Wade's been up to some stuff here too. So, Wade, why don't you fill us in on Ruby and Smug J?
Smug J. not an official nickname yet.
It's official.
It's not official yet. Well, I've been thinking about getting an LJ for a very long time. I don't know. For sure 2 years. And
because check this out, guys. He wants an LJ. He has a TJ. He wants more room for his family. He has one child, and he and his wife and his child weigh as much as I do together.
Two dogs.
His dogs, you can throw your dogs in too. They're all five of them probably weigh as much as me. All right, continue.
True. But anyway, it's funny. I remember when I bought my TJ, I actually saw a couple of LJs, and I thought, I don't like the way they look. They're too long.
Yeah, you don't like the way they look. They look even a soft top. Like, that looks kind of dorky.
It looks kind of like a short school bus or something. And I don't know. There was something about it I didn't like, but because there was a guy in our neighborhood that I think he owned the restaurant up the road. Because when they redid Fireside, it was always sitting there.
Oh, really?
So okay. I don't know if he was one of the contractors or the guy that ran it, but that was an all stock LJ, so it was really low to the ground. Had cheesy wheels and tires on it, so they do look pretty cheesy in my opinion, anyway. When they're not
any Jeep stock needs improvement.
Yeah, they just don't look right. So it's so like funny, right? All of a sudden, I come around. I think LJs are actually pretty awesome. I think I want one because I want the extra room. And I've been honestly going back and forth because I love my TJ. It's a great vehicle. We've had loads and loads of experiences in it. And I don't know what it is about it, but you tend to get a little romantic about your vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because it's like, yeah, you spent time and effort, getting it the way you want it. And then the things that you've done in it, that we've done in our group of friends, and my family, like my wife and daughter come, and especially my daughter come off-roading with me a lot. We went camping, did the Gilbert thing with my daughter and I. So, I don't know, you get kind of attached. But, batting it back and forth with the wife, and she was kind of wanting, she's like, yeah, that'd be nice to have the extra room, and the concession I had to make about the automatic transmission, and I don't know.
Now he's leaving the manual transmission club. So
the short version is, I start kind of looking. I find one in southern Ohio, somewhere in Ohio. Can't remember now where. That I liked, and kind of started messaging with the dealership that had it. Got them talked down to a price I was comfortable with, and I told Kelly, I found one. Like, well, I'm game. All right, fine. So we pulled the trigger on it. So I've had it now 3 or 4 weeks, maybe. How long have I had it?
About that time. Yeah.
So now I got an LJ Rubicon.
Now with a full automatic.
Yes. That was the one thing the wife really wanted. It. She's uninterested in learning how to drive a stick. And she wants to be able to take it in the summer and go goof around in it while I'm at work. She's like, you can take my car to work, and I'm going to take the Jeep, take the top down, and she and my daughter are going to go goof around in it. So she wanted me to get an automatic. That was the one concession I had to make.
And she was the first one to drive it because you had it shipped up, right? And she was the first one to drive it?
Yeah. So it was in Ohio. Actually, I remember now. It was south of Cleveland. In a suburb town of Cleveland. I don't know, it's too far to drive. I mean, not too far. I mean, it could have taken a one-way plane ticket or something. That's actually how I got my last Jeep. One-way plane ticket and drove it home. But you can have them all pretty affordably, and it's like, and they drop them off right at your front door. So I just had a company pick it up on a flatbed and bring it to my house.
Yes.
And so she drove it, yes.
Yeah,
so
she just drove it up the driveway.
They unloaded it in the street, and she drove it up the driveway, so she actually got to be the first person to drive
So wait, I remember you bought the... What did you buy? You bought the Jeep sight unseen, your white van, your black van, the one you have now, and then you bought four vehicles basically sight unseen.
Well, I get photos.
Yeah, but you don't... Like, the black van, you can drive on the block. You just started handing the guy cash, and we took off and left.
Yep.
With a Jeep LJ TJ, you kind of know, like, okay, this might be the thing that we're going to find is wrong with it. We might find this wrong with it. Because if you had a TJ forever, you're going to run through all the crap in your head that what went wrong over the years you had it.
Then, yeah. So. Well, and if you're buying it from a private owner, I don't know. I generally think that most people are good people and will be straight with you. So, you know, he asks the right questions, and if I get some good pictures, and when I'm talking to the person, they seem like a straight shooter.
But you bought this from a dealer, right?
I feel pretty good about it. Yeah, this one I bought from a dealer, which, you know, they don't know anything about it because they didn't own it. They just, you know, got it on a trade-in. But cool side story, the Jeep's got aftermarket seat covers. They had the previous owner had the seats redone with cat skins.
That's what these are.
Which is actually, they're really nice.
And they're sitting in a cat skin seat right
now. Am I?
Yeah.
Well, it's very nice. Meow. So the seats have a map pouch behind them. And I just happened to stick my hand in the map pouches, and there was some old paperwork in there of like a parade that the Jeep was in, like a Jeep parade.
Oh, wow.
And a service receipt from like a mechanic, like doing a brake job on it or something. So it had the previous owner's name on it. So I found the guy on Facebook and dropped him a message, and he and I bounced a handful of messages back and forth. So he told me all about it. So I actually ended up getting a little bit of the history after the fact.
Now this is funny. If you remember from past podcasts, Wade would always tease me that I would text the guy that I bought my Jeep from.
And you would do it into perpetuity, though. Like, I mean, I got my information. I haven't messaged him since. You kept sending that guy pictures of your Jeep as you kept upgrading it, which
made
me laugh. I'm like, that guy's trying to live his life. Leave him alone.
He told me. He goes, people come. This is great. You know, so he didn't. He doesn't mind.
I'm like, leave that poor guy alone. He don't want to see his vehicle.
But he gave up.
Yeah. So I've had it. I've had it like 4 weeks or so, and came with a hard top. Got rid of that. I'm not a hard top guy.
Yeah, it's a lot of money going up there if you're going to go off road. I mean, you can smash a hard top, and then you don't have anything. Otherwise, you have money in your pocket. That's what I do with mine. Like, if I smash the hard top, then I'm out. Might as well sell it now and upgrade the Jeep.
And you gotta, like, I don't know, they're kind of a pain in the butt to store in the summer, because I'd for sure run a soft top in the summer. And I don't have like a high garage where I can hoist it way up in the air out of the way. It's like, I don't even need it. I just run a soft top year round. Good quality soft tops. I mean, I think they fit nice and tight. They don't make a lot of any more noise than an uninsulated hard top. So,
man, so he ended up finding a soft top in your neighborhood.
Yeah, 3 miles from my house. Guy with an LJ.
And it came with two sets of windows, and this is the best part.
Yeah.
So if he goes off-road, he can throw the scratched up set.
Yeah.
So that's why he scratched them up even more. Mine are almost, you can't see through them anymore.
I know.
So I was thinking about getting a whole new top and just calling it good.
It does not take much to scratch those darn things.
I don't know how many years I had my Jeep. I got it, what, 50, what year is it now, 21? What year did I get it? It must have been 2015?
I've had my TJ Rubicon 7 years. And I know because I'm trying
to sell. So mine's 6 years
old. I'm trying to sell my old Rubicon, and so I dug the title out. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So I've had it 7 years.
Yeah, so if I can get another 7 years of another top, that's not a bad investment, under 100 bucks.
Oh, yeah.
So if I snag another top for $600 bucks, and I'll get one of those. You know, I was thinking about it, but in the summertime, quite literally, the top is not on. It's down all the time. The doors are off all summer.
In the summer, I leave my top up just to keep the sun off me, because it's like if I'm in traffic, you just sit there and melt.
Yeah.
But I zip the windows out, and I just leave the windows basically zipped out all summer long. And then I can, then taking the top up and down is pretty fast and easy if you don't have to zip windows in and out. So I can drop the top if it's not 100 degrees and sunny.
But we're going to do a little this part of the podcast is brought to you by Wade Wessels and why he wants to sell his Jeep. So what's on the red Rubicon that you're selling, and what's your price point? What's the upgraded parts you have on it that you didn't steal off yet?
I didn't actually steal much from it.
What's left? Let's tell them what's left and what they're buying.
So it's a 2003 TJ Rubicon, soft top only, but it does have the full hard top kit. So it has all the controls for rear wiper and everything if somebody wanted to add one back on. Has a hitch and a trailer wiring harness, the whole deal for that. It's a five-speed manual. Aftermarket stuff that's on it. It has a Barnes heavy-duty skid plate. It's not a tummy tuck. It still keeps the drivetrain basically in the stock position. But it's got welded kind of bent edges all the way around, so
it's pretty slick.
You don't have that stupid shovel that digs everything up. It's actually a pretty sweet little skid plate. It bolts right up. You don't have to make any modifications because it's not moving stuff around. So I have the Barnes skid plate, Barnes sliders. So I took the little cheesy factory Jeep Rubicon rocker guards off that really do nothing, and put on the nice Barnes ones that are heavy duty steel. Let's see, what else? I've got the grab bar, heavy duty grab handles in it. It's got a aftermarket stereo with kicker speakers all the way around. And then, yeah, I replaced the sub with a small aftermarket sub. Still in the console. It's not like in the trunk or anything. With a little 100-watt amp that's underneath the seat to power it. So it's nothing like super bumped up. But just gives you good sound. Let's see, what
tire size? I can't remember what tires you got now.
Oh, so what I did with the wheels and tires, I actually took the wheels and tires off the LJ I bought and put them on the TJ, because the LJ came with brand new, what are those, the one that competes with the BFG KO2s, it's the Falcon AT3Ws, Wild Peaks, that's it, the Wild Peak AT3Ws.
I almost bought those.
So the LJ came with brand new AT3 Wild Peaks.
A32s?
They're 32s on steelies with the right back spacing and everything, so they don't rub. So I actually put those on the TJ because I thought it would help it sell better, because that's a more popular tire. I had Patagonias on it, and they're honestly noisy, and they're worn out. There's not much life left in them anyway. So I put the Patagonias on the LJ because I'm going to put new tires on the bigger and different tires on the LJ anyway. So I thought,
what?
I'll put the...
They weren't going bigger than 33, whatever their plan.
I don't know. Plans change.
Here it comes.
We'll see. So I did that, but I guess for sure, if somebody came to buy the TJ and they really wanted those Patagonias, I'd move them back. It doesn't matter to me because the LJ is going to get a different wheel and tire package when I'm ready. So
that's the TJ. It's for sale, and you did rebuild the rear end recently and put a better rear end in it.
Yep. Factory style locker. It's a front locker in the rear because it doesn't have the limited slip, which is known to fail.
So you took the fail point out.
So that
it failed on you.
Right. So that's nice. And it's through the years, as you know, it's a 2003, right? As things wear out, I've replaced things on it. Just this summer, I put, because I wasn't planning on selling it. I mean, it was kind of like we're going to get an LJ, and then I kind of had one found in like 4 weeks, and we had one. So I put all new heavy-duty steering on the front.
Twice.
It needed tie rods, and you could just get the whole new kit for not that much more than new tie rod, new ends.
So if you don't know what a heavy-duty steering, basically it's out of a WJ, the V8 WJ.
Yeah.
And I have the same one on mine.
Crown sells it as a kit, but that's what it is. Yeah, it's all brand new. So I put that on, brand new Spicer ball joints on both sides, top and bottom.
Yeah, so it's ready to go.
Oh, Blackmagic brakes all the way around.
So a little bit, you know, Wade's been on a podcast a bunch, and he's the guy we always go to when we have some major problem or we have something to do. He's a wrench. He knows how to do this stuff. So if something's wrong with his Jeep, he's going to fix it the right way and get it done. So that's the type of Jeep you're buying, is like, hey, something went wrong, or hey, if we're going to upgrade this, we might as well do it right and have the beefier piece on it. Right. Has a lift, BDS 2.5.
Two inch BDS lift that I really like. I've been really happy with that lift kit.
Look at that thing. That's cool.
Mowing down trees.
That's cool. So that's the Jeep that's for sale. There's your 4-minute ad on your...
But no Warren 8274, because I know we did a podcast on that Warren. I took the Warren winch off. That's that 8274 staying with me.
So no lowballers. He knows what he has.
Yeah, no lowballing. I know what I got. So, yeah, you'll find it. It's on Facebook Marketplace, and it's on Craigslist.
Well, that guy blew out his back window.
You'll find it. Oh, yeah, he did.
He was taking that Jeep Cherokee.
We're passing, what is that, a Liberty? Oh, no, that's
a Cherokee. It says right inside there, genius.
Back window is totally busted out.
Grandma got going off-road.
Yeah, she's bundled up in there.
Awesome. So that's the Jeep that's for sale. So
yep.
Now the new Jeep, we got the Smug J. We need the Smug J because...
So Mitch keeps calling my Jeep Smug J, and I don't like that. You're being mean, Mitch.
So you know how the the old joke, if you know how somebody does, how do you know if somebody does CrossFit? Don't worry, they'll tell you all about it. So same thing with whoever has an LJ, don't worry, they'll tell you all about it. You know, you'll know everything about that LJ in about 5 seconds. So I always make the joke that, you know, LJ owners are just a little bit smug. In my own brain, this is back when I was in college, my brother and I would be, we lived together, and we always look at the guy across the street with snowblow his driveway in 5 minutes, and then go back in his house, and we'd take like 4 hours to do our driveway, maybe not in 5 minutes, and my brother would be so mad at that guy, because I'm like, he can do our driveway in 5 minutes, he just wants, he's all smug, he's gonna go back in his house, have coffee, and just sit and be warm, and we're gonna be up there for the next 5 hours, he's always mad. So that's just every LJ owner back in my mind, I'm like, they're just smug driving around in LJ. But nothing makes me more mad than seeing a stock LJ just out there scooting around. Like, they don't know what they got. They have no clue what they got. It's a cool vehicle.
It's an LJ Rubicon, too. So that's extra smuggy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got to name your Jeep. The way he likes to name all his vehicles. And before he even had a chance, I was teasing your wife when she was on one of my workout things. I said, I already named Wade's Jeep. I call it the Smug J. So that's what I'm always going to call it.
My daughter's been trying to come up with it. So we call the red one that's for sale, we called it Hopper.
Hopper,
my daughter, named it, nicknamed it that. So I told her we needed a nickname for the new Jeep. And so she's coming up with all these names. Meanwhile, Mitch is texting me back and forth about Jeeping or Jeeps, and he keeps Smug J. I told Charlie, I'm like, I think Mitch already named our Jeep. So you're going to have to take that up with my daughter.
Yeah, she likes me.
Yeah.
Awesome. So now this one has 33 Milestar Pats, everybody's favorite or least cheap, favorite tire.
Yep. The cheap tire that you either hate to love or love to hate.
I'm back and forth on them. I can kind of hear about
it. They're fine. I mean,
if you have the right tire pressure, I guess they do good for you.
They're loud, but it's because they're way more aggressive than the KO2s that I had before.
I can hear my KO2s right now, driving right now on the road.
Yeah.
My pickup, I got KO2s.
They work fine.
Yeah.
I've definitely, put them through the paces.
So Wade got going on Black Friday. What'd you pick up?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of starting the mild upgrades because the LJ is, we could actually talk about that, some of the upgrades that I was surprised that it already had when I got it.
Oh, yeah, let's go start there, then we'll talk about Black Friday Fun Fest.
Well, so, I look at the pictures, and it looks basically stock, with the exception of it had that wheel and tire package that I've put on the Red Jeep. So, I could see in the pictures that the leather seats had been done. But other than that, it looked basically stock and really immaculate. So I'm like, okay, I'll buy it. I'll take it. So it shows up, and I start looking at it, and it's like, yeah, it actually looks like it's got a little bit of a lift on it. So I measured it. Well, I looked underneath, and sure enough, it's already got Old Man Emu 2.5-inch springs on it, front and rear, and they still had the tags on them, so I know, because OME makes like three or four different load ratings for your Jeep, depending on how you want it to ride. So it's already got an OME 2-inch lift on it with Rancho 5000, it's kind of the base Rancho shock on it.
I think that's what's on these.
Yes. So that was good, because I've always wanted to try the OME lift anyway. So there's a deer.
No, it's not moving too fast.
So that was a nice little surprise. The leather seats, the heated leather seats, and then the previous owner bought the full Quadratec LED light kit. So
the lights.
The tail lights are the Quadratec LED tail lights. The headlights are the heated Quadratec LED headlights, and Quadratec LED fog lights.
Not sponsored by Quadratec either right now.
Have all been swapped out.
And did some of the frame, too. You said some ceramic coating or something like that?
Oh, yeah. So when I messaged the guy that previously owned the Jeep, he wrote me back a huge message. And he said, yeah, when I got it, it had a little rust here and there, la, la, la. And it's like, I bought it. I just took it to a body shop. I had to put new fenders on it. Have them repainted to match the paint job, and I had completely ceramic coat the underside, which I can see it is. It's all black under there with that ceramic coating. So that was nice, and he's the one that put had him put the 2-inch lift on. So that lift is like new. And a couple other things, TJ's too, the 05 and 06, the OPDA on the engine.
What was an OPDA?
I knew you were going to ask that question, and now I can't think of what the...
Oil
pump drive assembly.
Ooh.
So on the side of the 4-liter, there's an oil pump drive assembly, and the 05 and 06s, and maybe the 04s, but for sure it was just the last few years.
Is it a 5 or a 6?
Mine's a 6. They have a design flaw in the factory drive assembly where it doesn't feed oil to the bearings at the top. The bearings fail, then the drive assembly fails. And the crappy part about that is then if it actually fails in a particular way, you lose oil feed to the engine and it'll waste your camshaft. So,
which is kind of what you want, because you want to slap an old LS in here.
Yeah, LS in the future. That'll be fun when we tackle that. But So Crown Automotive makes a new OPDA. It's like $100, and it's external to the engine, so it's really easy to swap.
Oh, okay.
And it has an upgraded design where it ensures that those bearings get oil, those bushings get oil. So he's already done that. So okay, awesome. Because I was already planning on spending that $100 because I'd read about that failure point. And the other failure point on the new ones is the. Computer has, I guess, a weak solder joint somewhere inside the computer where like a diode or something comes off. But anyway, the Jeep starts behaving really strangely. I read all about it on the internet, and there's a company out there.
It's on the internet. You got to trust it.
That's right. So there's a company out there called WranglerFix.com who sells completely new computers for these Jeeps. And so basically it's, you know, you drive your Jeep till all of a sudden your gauges start acting weird and it starts shifting weird. It's really crazy how it fails. But you swap that out. But that's actually a really expensive fix. That guy already did that. He just went ahead and said, just do it. So the two big kind of concerns I knew I was, you know, just planning on having to deal with, the OPDA and the computer, both the previous guy did a year ago.
So you kind of fell bass-ackwards into a good deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Good-ish deal. I mean, you buy an LJ, which, you know, basically are made out of gold. But
yeah, and then you put the Rubicon sticker on it, and then they really gold-dip them then.
But at the end of the day, though, you came up, well, sight unseen, it drives nice, and
it
has some upgrades to it, and it's ready to go. So we obviously haven't taken off-road yet, but...
Yep. Yeah, we haven't been. I mean, I got it right before, you know, the holidays here. It's really not. There's really not any events. So
yeah, there's not much going on. We want to. We've got some ideas of what we want to do, but I'm anxious to get all this done. I want to get out and go. My Jeep has dust on it, and my father-in-law's pickup parked behind my Jeep in the driveway, and I couldn't get my Jeep out for a better part of a month because I'm like, this is no fun. So I move his truck. So just like the Jeep out, move the tires around a little bit. But obviously, all my free time has been doing what we're doing right now, going up north and getting ready to do some hunting. And instead of watching deer, we're going to actually hunt them this time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that, obviously. So now upgrades now. The Black Friday specials, what y'all get.
Oh, man, I had a lot of stuff teed up, and then I had to dial it back. Like, settle down. You're supposed to be buying gifts for others. But I did get new sliders, so same. I mean, basically, other than the stuff I already talked about, the Jeep stock, so it has the stock little, the factory little rock sliders from Jeep that are in really good shape. So I'll pull those off. I'm sure somebody that wants the factory look might want those. I'll pull those off and put them on the internet. So I ordered new sliders
from Barnes again.
I got these from Motobuilt. Only because the Barnes, I love Barnes stuff. He makes really good stuff, but he doesn't make one for the LJ. He only makes the TJ.
Oh, really?
And Motobuilt makes three different links for the LJ. So they have a full length wheel well to wheel well. So you'd have to notch your fenders because they'll tuck inside your fender flares. They make one that fits in between your fender flares. And then they make one that is cut to match fit their aftermarket Highline fender. I ended up getting the full length wheel well one, so I'll have to notch my factory Jeep fender flares because it has to go underneath them.
And you kind of figured you're going to go put MCs on the front anyhow.
We all know those fenders won't last that long in Minnesota before they start rusting. And then I'll go to the same fenders that I have on my TJ, which are those MC Highlines. Those things are great.
Are you going to go to the wider version this time, or the same ones you had?
I'll probably do the 4.5. I have the 3s on my TJ. I think I'll do the 4.5 if I'm going to do a bigger tire. I mean, I like the 3s on my TJ.
They make a 6, though, too, though.
And those MCs are lifetime guarantee, not to break and not to sunfade.
Yeah, those are a big deal.
They are. And you can... The nice thing I love about I'm able to run a 33-inch tire on my Jeep with a 2-inch lift kit, and it doesn't rub.
Yeah.
So you kind of keep your Jeep... If you don't want it too high up in the air, but you want to run a 33, which...
What's funny?
Personal preference for me, I think the 33 is... like the perfect tire size on a TJ. I think they look great.
Yeah.
Personal opinion.
What's funny about, you know, JKs and JLs and JTs, you can put a 2-inch lift on and get 39s.
I know.
But a TJ, you gotta do grace of God, you gotta pull this off, wheel space this, all this crap.
Built a little different.
Just to get a 33 on, you know. But I was watching Dirt Lifestyle last night, and he had his wife's JT with a diesel on it, and he was slapping on some 39s. 39 KO2s.
Yep.
And he's slapping those on and going through the whole process of how he did that. But he put some cool beadlocks on. There's like this street legal beadlocks.
Really?
And like, how'd you balance them? That's my question. He didn't talk anything about
beadlocks or street. There was such a thing.
He has them. DOT approved, 50 states. So he put them on there, 39. Kind of a weird 39, you know.
Yeah.
We just round up to 40 and say it's a 40, but it's straight up 39. And we just talking about how, just go on the computer with this thing. You can change the speedometer, change the shift points. I'm like,
giddy up.
No, that's in a TJ.
Yeah.
Or a Smug J.
Yeah. Or the Smug J.
No, that crap. So that's kind of what's going on with with Wade. So he's got a Jeep for sale. You can find it on, the interwebs and the price he's looking for.
The interwebs, yep.
Won't tell you online here what it was because it might change a little bit here and there, but I'm trying to get my brother to buy it because I'm like, this is a pretty decent deal, Mike. You should do this. So we'll see if he pulls the trigger.
We'll see. It's Christmas time. I'm not too revved up to think anyone's going to buy it right now because I'm sure everybody's thinking about Christmas.
Hey, Christmas bonus.
But
I might have Clark Griswold knocking on your door.
But I think right after January, then it'll probably get pretty exciting. So
yeah,
we'll see. So yeah, if you want to come check it out.
Hit us up.
I'll tell you one quick funny story.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a guy that came and looked at it right before Thanksgiving weekend, and my LJ was sitting in the driveway too. And so we talk about the Jeep, blah blah blah. He takes it for a drive. He's like, hey, yep, really like it. I'm looking at some others too. I'm gonna think about it. I'll let you know. I said, all right, sounds good. The next day, he sends me a message, and he's like, thanks again for letting me drive the Jeep. I loved it, but I actually liked your LJ so much, I went and bought one. And he sends me a picture of a stock LJ he picked up. It was funny. I was like, man, I guess next time when someone comes to look at the TJ, I have to hide the LJ.
Yeah. You can't really. A little update on our buddy Billy, who got in an accident with his Jeep when he was going up north. Somebody was going on a road the wrong way and took
off.
He picked up a Blue Rubicon, local.
Yeah, it looks good.
Looks good. So
like that blue.
He's back in the off-road world. So, I hope to see him on a trail sometime soon. So he's back in the Jeep world again. Didn't take him long. He says it's going to take a long time, take his time to find the right deal, to slap them right in the face, apparently, because he was back into it a week later. And ironically, last night I was at my part-time job, and this gal comes in, because I say, hey, I haven't seen you a bit. She goes, I had to get a new vehicle, and she says, last time I left here, which was like 3 weeks ago earlier, somebody had T-boned her.
Oh.
In her like 03, whatever she was driving at the time. She goes, I just bought a Wrangler. And I started laughing because I knew the woman on the other side of her has a brand new Sahara 4xE.
Oh, cool.
The yellow one. And then she's sitting there, and the girl next to her, she goes, oh, I got a Jeep too. And I said, yeah, and I got a Jeep also. And she's really? I'm like, yeah, I got two of them actually. So we're kind of laughing about that because she didn't know, but she was going to get the full Jeep Wrangler download real fast. But yeah. So she's pretty happy with her JK. She's picked up. And,
good.
But she was pretty excited about that. But yeah, so they're out there.
Gotta love the Jeep community.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like nothing else. Yeah. So, but that's what we've been up to, and hopefully have more actual off-road type stories or upgrades we're doing. I told Wade some of my goals I have for January, February. He says it's not going to happen. He's always teasing me. But now that hopefully life is...
Lights before lockers.
I hate lights.
I'm going to leverage Black Friday to get like a cheap light bar, and I'm just going to buy it for you. Put it
I am going to throw it straight to garbage.
I'm going to weld it on.
Here's my thoughts. You guys, you can buy all the light bars you want. I just think they look ugly. Either way, how much wheeling are you doing at night anyhow?
Yeah, hey, to each their own, right?
I know. I just think it's the silliest thing to have. Especially these headlights nowadays are ridiculous. The ones that you have, I know, are better than mine, but I upgraded my headlights to the cheap Sun Pie ones. I'm like, well, these are fine.
Yeah.
You know, these are great.
I've got Axial LED headlights on the TK, and those things, they are amazing. They're just, I mean, it's like the headlights, you know, that are on like a BMW or a Mercedes, like the really, really bright. Man, they look great.
Well, it's better than the 3 candle watt that comes stock on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to beat them. Yeah.
I don't understand how they can still sell
it is
branded
literally
vehicles.
Two candles.
Yeah.
It's like two Coleman lanterns.
Yeah, but they're windy out. It's just going to blow them right up.
Yeah.
But it's just like, to me, it's like, how can they sell even a brand new Jeeps that don't have the high-end lights? They look like crap.
Most cars now it used to be only the premium cars got headlights like that now.
Well, like this.
Now the regular cars are getting them.
Like this, if I take a headlight out, I think it's like $700-$800 a side.
Oof.
For headlights.
Ouch.
I mean, they're not cheap on these things nowadays, but hopefully no deer jump out in front of me on the way home. I'm back up north here. Well, awesome. Well, thanks for listening, guys. If you have any questions about the Jeep, just message Wade or message me, and I'll get a message off to him. But don't mess about the LJ. The Smug J is not for sale.
Smug J is not for sale.
Personalized plates are on their way, though.
Yeah. Nope, already got plates. They're regular.
Awesome. Well,
I did think about doing
that. Did you?
It crossed my mind, but then I thought, God, you know, how would that look? Like driving Smug out the J? Road and somebody behind you. The guy's license plate literally says Smug on it. I don't know. I don't think that the optics on that probably aren't very good. So,
well, I think we get a custom made sticker made.
I went for a regular license plate, but I was laughing thinking about that.
Oh god, that would have been the best.
Damn it, this stupid nickname's starting to stick. We gotta stop calling it that.
No, it's it. Awesome. All right. Hopefully we have more to add to this. If we get a deer, we might slap a deer story at the end of this. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you soon. Again, thanks for listening to the Cross Thread Off-Road Podcast brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Why help people in person and online in small groups, large groups, one-on-one, you name it. Just reach out to me. If you're looking to get in better shape, lose weight, tone up, you name it, I can help you out. I've been doing it since 1999. So reach out to me on Facebook, PrimeShapeFitness.com, or Facebook, PrimeShapeFitness. Find me. We'll talk.